Well, as you might imagine, as I stand before you today, my heart is full. And I'm just so thrilled and amazed at what God has done. And, you know, we celebrate today. We celebrate a lot of things. We've already talked about a lot of those things. We've celebrated a new building, new opportunities, people that have come together, friends and new friends that we've made in this process, great memories. But I think above all else today, we celebrate the plan of God. We celebrate the plan of God. That's what I want to take just a few minutes to talk about to you today. It's in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. Just one verse I want to read today. But I want you to focus on the fact that we are celebrating the plan of God. And I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every life. He has a plan for every church. And as I've thought about the process, been here and watched all of it, watched everything come together from the time I arrived in August of 2010. Watched the Constructors for Christ come in and how all that materialized. You know, there wasn't a master plan. It wasn't like I was sitting in my office scheming about how we could bring all this together. It was God. It was God's plan. And folks, I think the message we need to understand and take home today with us is that God has a marvelous plan for our lives, and it is better than any plan that we could conceive of ourselves. I want you to listen to this verse, and then we're going to talk for just a moment about celebrating the plan of God. Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Listen to it again. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the things we have to celebrate today. Such a good day. It's so good to be with friends. So many people have taken out of their busy schedules time to come here and be with us. Lord, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for how you're here with us today. And I pray that as we celebrate this momentous occasion for our church, that you would make us very aware that you have a plan. And maybe there's someone struggling here today. Maybe there's someone that is having difficulty following or finding your plan. Help us to be reassured today that you have a wonderful plan for our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's just amazing how God has worked through this time. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But I want to really talk to you today. I want to give you four observations. Four observations from this passage, from this verse. Again, thinking about all that has transpired over these over the last couple of years as we have worked toward this goal of building a family life center. And we celebrate together and we thank him today, but we also have four take homes that we can have in our lives as we celebrate the plan of God. Here's number one. God's plans are often different from our plans. I don't know if you realize that or not, but God's plans are often different from our plans. I don't know about you, but I'm a planner. I have always been a planner. When I was in high school, I was a planner. And in high school, I had my life all mapped out. In fact, I had my life all mapped out as a young married person. But you know what? God had a different plan for me. How many of you can raise your hand and give testimony that God had a different plan for you than what you anticipated? You know, I think about where I am today. And I'm not doing what I plan to be doing. I'm not living where I plan to be living. I can't imagine. I'm amazed by the journey that God called me to. You see, it was 13 years ago this very month in November of 2002. Some of you remember. Some of you may have been there. A couple of you that are here from Richland. I surrendered my life to God's plan. God had been working on my heart for a couple of years, and he was calling me to ministry, to preach. That hadn't been part of the plan, I'll tell you for sure. Those of you that knew me when I was really young, you knew it wasn't part of the plan. But God called me, and I said yes to his plan. And it's been an amazing ride, and it's been an amazing journey these 13 years. He's taught me a lot. He's given me confidence. He's reaffirmed the call of my life, brought so many wonderful people into my life. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God's plans are different than our plans. You know, I would have missed out on so much if I wouldn't have followed God's plan for my life. And you know, there's a lot of people in Scripture that way too. A lot of people in Scripture. You see it all through the Bible. Abraham, God had a different plan for his life. Moses, God had a different plan for his life. David, God had a different plan for his life. And in the New Testament, there was Mary. God had a different plan for her life. And Peter and Paul. All of them had plans, but God took them in a different direction. So my question, or my challenge to you today is, will you leave your plans in God's hands? Will you let God take your plans and use them as He would? Listen to what it says in James chapter 4 and verse 15. James says, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And that's because God's plans are different than our plans. But there's a second point to this today, and it's really cool. This is very important. Don't miss this. God's plans are always better than our plans. God's plans are always better than our plans. You know, I didn't envision it to work out this way. I didn't know we'd get connected with the Constructors for Christ. I didn't understand how all this was going to work together. I'll tell you what happened. I came here in August of 2010, and I could see that it was on the hearts of some folks. Again, I think about Brother Harold Yeager sitting out there. It was on his heart. He asked me this question when I came here in view of a call. What do you think about building a building, a family life center? On his heart, on this man's heart, was passing the baton to the next generation. And I looked at the financial statement, and we had a special fund set up called Family Life Center. It had $1,100 in it. I got to tell you, that's not much of a plan. And as time went on, we had some reserves built up. We had some good years. God blessed us. And at the end of 2010, we moved $10,000 over from our reserve account into this fund. And we now had $11,000. Still not much of a plan. Well, as time went on, some things happened that I didn't anticipate. We had a staff change. Someone left. A man left from our staff that I really thought would be here a long time. And we were without a full-time staff member for a period of time. And so we began to use a little bit of that budget to shift over to the Family Life Center. And it grew. And by September 1st of 2012, we had a whopping $19,000 in that account. It was growing. By December of that year, we had $75,000 in that account. And we knew that God was moving and God was working. And what happened is on April the 7th of 2013, we had Vision Sunday. And Keith referenced it with the cards, with the commitment cards. We had an all on the altar where people put cards of commitment that they would give over and above their tithes and offerings. And we're not blessed. We're not an extremely wealthy church. We're an average church. A lot of blue collar workers here. But we committed to give our all because we believed in the plan of God. And it amazed me how God accelerated the process. I thought, okay, maybe in a couple years down the line, we'll break ground. We had the money. We wanted half the money in the bank before we broke ground. We had the money in the bank by October of the same year. And we were breaking ground after the bids and everything last December. December 14th of 2014, we broke ground on this building. And I thought, well, it's going to take time to get this building up. Again, God accelerated the process. And less than a year later, we're in it. We're in it. We're doing ministry in this building. And I'm just reminded that God's plans are always better than our plans. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Listen to this verse. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Folks, if we really understood what God is saying in that verse, when God says, "I've got plans for you," it's going to be a ride. It's going to take you places you don't expect to go. But you ought to be celebrating. You ought to be clapping your hands and saying, "I can't believe that God's got a plan for my life." Some of us are worried today. Some of you out there are worried because you can't find God's plan. You wonder, "God, what's your plan for my life in marriage?" You're wanting to get married and that person just hasn't materialized yet. I like what one pastor said. You've got the urge to merge and it's just not happening. Or maybe you really can't see God's plan for your career, your occupation, or this season in your life. Trust God's plan. God has a good plan. And God's plans are different than ours, but God's plans are better than our plans. Third thing I want to say today. God's plans unfold as we walk with Him. God's plans unfold as we walk with Him. You know, God doesn't show you everything in advance. I don't recall a statement in the Bible or a story in the Bible where somebody is called by God and immediately they know everything. Abraham didn't know where God was taking him. He just knew that God was leading him to a better place. And God had made some specific promises to him. Paul didn't know where God was leading him when he had that Damascus Road experience. He just knew that God was leading him to a better place. And folks, as we walk with God as a church, as you walk with God as an individual Christian, it's a journey that is taken as He reveals His plan one step at a time. We've got to take a one step at a time journey. And that's what God wants to do. Now listen to me. This is important. The key to finding God's plan for your life is not fretting and worrying and stewing about what it is that you're supposed to do or where you need to be. The key isn't figuring out the plan. The key is staying close to God. I want to say this about this building process, and Keith alluded to it in his testimony. You know, we've not made a big push to build this building. I've not worn you out Sunday after Sunday talking about it. Now, it's important. It's meant a lot to me. And I know it's necessary. It's something we've needed. But you know what we've done during this time? We have walked with God day by day. You know, we have continued to be about the business that God has called us to. We've continued to grow and work on our children's ministry and develop an Awana ministry. We've continued to do missions and go other places as God has called us to engage unreached, unengaged people groups. We've continued to share the gospel and go out to our neighborhood and our community and to our area and share the good news of the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we've been about our business. And folks, I think that's what God wants us to do, to walk with Him day by day. Because if you stay close to Him, He reveals the plan. And folks, we've seen this over and over again at Hillcrest Baptist Church. But I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." I love that picture of walking in them. We just kept walking with God, and one day at a time, one week at a time, a year at a time, He unveiled His plan to us. And it's a good plan. It's better than we could have ever envisioned. But there's a fourth and final thing I want to say today. Fourth thing that needs to be said about God's plans as we celebrate them. God's plans require that we keep taking the next step. Folks, we as individual Christians, brothers and sisters, as a church, we've got to keep taking the next step. You understand that? You see, the point is we are celebrating a great thing today. And there's gratification, there's satisfaction in it, and there should be. Especially when our praise is pointed to the one who made it all happen, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? We've got to keep moving forward. God has blessed us with a tremendous resource. God has given us opportunities we never had before in this church. And we've got to keep moving forward. All of you probably know what it's like to ride a bicycle. You've got a bicycle maybe at home somewhere or had one at one time. You know, when you're riding a bicycle, you're moving. You're either moving forward or backwards, but you cannot stay stationary on a bicycle very long without what? Well, it topples over. And folks, the same is true in the Christian life. You're either moving forward or backward, but you will never be stationary. And so we've got to keep moving forward in this church. We've got more work that needs to be done. Joe was talking about physical and manual labor that needed to be done here. We've got lots of other work that's to be done in this church. And I'm excited about the opportunities to host an upward basketball league in there and to have new families come in and to share Christ with people who otherwise wouldn't darken the doors of a church. It's a great tool, but we've got to use it for God's glory. And just like Keith said, we have an obligation now. We've got to continue to give. We've got a debt that we owe to Commerce Bank. And I don't know about you, but I don't like debt very much. I don't like personal debt, and I certainly don't like church debt. And I pray, and I hope that you'll hear my heart when I say this, I hope that you will still give sacrificially to this wonderful thing that God has allowed to happen in our church. He's accelerated the timetable. He's letting us see it right now, and we are seeing the fruits of our labor. Let's continue to give to it. I don't like debt, and I know that debt binds people and churches up. So I want to ask you to consider something, all right? As you consider what you can give on a weekly or monthly basis, let's see if we can pay this debt off in 3 years. I was thinking, the reason I came up with 3 years is because it's been about 3 years, you know, when that fund really began to grow. It took about 3 years to raise approximately $500,000 so that we could get to a point where we could make this a reality. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. I didn't think we were on that kind of timetable, but God blessed us in such a way. Let's see if we can remove the debt in 3 years. I'm praying that it'll be so, and that's what God will lay on our hearts. Let's make a goal to pay it off. And the reason we do that is for the glory of God. So we won't be bound up in debt, and we can do the ministries that God calls us to. Folks, it's a new day here at Hillcrest. Hillcrest has always been a can-do church. But there's no telling what God will do with the opportunities we have now and the resources that we have. So let's continue to keep taking the next steps of progress in the life of Hillcrest Baptist Church. But let's not take our eyes off the ever-important goal that Joe stated so well just a moment or two ago. God is inviting us to invest in people, to invest in lives. That's what this is all about. And especially to invest in the lives of lost people. People who need Jesus. People who need hope. People who need assurance that they can spend eternity in heaven with our Lord and Savior. And so we need to take those next steps. And we need to help people all around us take their next steps toward God. Well, I want to close my message today, and we've got a couple other things we're going to do, so I need to get this message closed out. But I want to give you a visual, all right? I want to give you a visual about taking the next steps with God. Before Michael Jackson, and I don't know really how to put this, I want to put it tactfully, before he got even more bizarre, he was shooting a music video that I'm sure a lot of you will be familiar with. It was a little song called Billie Jean. Pretty big hit a few years ago. And they were shooting the video, and that was at the time when videos were new. It was kind of a up-and-coming thing. MTV was getting huge. And they had this wonderful idea. Now, Michael Jackson was the greatest dancer. Whatever you think about him, he was probably the greatest dancer, one of the greatest dancers who ever lived. I mean, that guy could move. And nobody had to tell him how to bust a move. He knew how to do that. And yet they had this song that he had written, Billie Jean, and he was in this song, and he was in this video, and there was a director, and had a little headset. I saw this I was reminded of this just a week or so ago, and the director was directing him every step of the way. Because what would happen is he was walking down this sidewalk, every step he would take, the light would come on. I'd forgotten about that, so I went to YouTube and looked it up again. Don't do it right now, please, but maybe later on you can look at that. But Michael Jackson was listening to a director, and every time he would say, Michael, step this way. Michael, step that way. And this man that was so talented musically and able to dance so well, he was led by a director. Now, he accomplished a great thing. It was a cool video, and it was a great and momentous occasion. But never forget there was a director directing his steps. Folks, there are some people that deserve praise today, and they've received some of that praise for doing a great job. An incredible job to bring this together. I mean, they've given their all, their time, their talents, their sacrifices. We had a man who gave his life. We had a man named David Armour, and you're going to see that in the video later. David Armour breathed his last breath out there in that building. And you know what? I rode up there with his brother-in-law to Springfield of Mercy that day. It was a horrible day. Horrible day for all of us. He slipped and fell and hit his head. And I remember his brother-in-law saying, you know, it was Leland was his name. Leland said, you know, I can't think of anything. If this is how he has to go, this is how he would have wanted to go, being on mission for God. And that's just the heart, the spirit of the Constructors for Christ who were here working. That's the heart of this church. And we need to keep taking the next steps. But listen to me. As long as we go where the director, my God and my Father is leading us, we'll be on the right path. And God has a good plan for our church. And a good plan for our lives. Listen again to this verse. Proverbs 16:9. Man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Will you pray with me right now? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you so much for your plan in our lives. You have a plan for our church. You have a plan for each individual Christian in this room. You have a plan for every person in this world. Your plan is that none should perish. All come to repentance. All come to saving faith in your Son, Jesus. Every person, everywhere, that's your plan. And through your Spirit And through circumstances and through your holy word, you're directing them in that plan. God, we now very humbly give this time to you. We're so thankful that you have brought about this great building. You've brought these great people into our lives. You are a wonderful, merciful God. And now we give you thanks and praise, but we also commit ourselves to follow your plan. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that needs to commit their lives to a plan today, to the plan of salvation, a plan of rededication, or any kind of plan, God, I pray that it would be so during this time. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for this day of celebration. We thank you that there's so much that we can be thankful for as Christians. And most of all, we thank you for your plan. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.